Shalom, this is Billy Brim and the Voice of One Witness radio broadcast coming to you today from Prayer Mountain in the Ozarks, not far from Branson, Missouri. And we are endeavoring to look at and have the Lord reveal to us what He wants us to know from the book of the Revelation of Jesus Christ. We read verses 1 through 3, which tell us that God gave this revelation of Jesus Christ to His servants, us. He sent it by an angel, and his prophet John is the one, John the Beloved is the one who is the scribe who writes it down. So it begins with seven letters that are going to be sent out, well, one letter, which is going to be sent out to seven churches, and John writes a cover letter over the letters to the church, this letter given to the churches. So in his cover letter, verse 4, John writes, John, to the seven churches which are in Asia. He's writing to seven churches. Now, these are not all the churches that there were. There were other churches. There was the church at Philippi. There was the church at Jerusalem. There was the church at Colossae, just to name a few. These are seven churches, and they're in present-day Turkey, but they're not even in a larger part of Asia. They're in what is called Asia Minor. They were all pretty relatively close to one another. And John writes the seven churches a cover letter and says, at the voice of the Lord through him says, grace be unto you and peace. Now here's who the letter is from. From him which is, which was, and which is to come. This letter is from Jehovah. And this from him which is, which was, and which is to come, this is the ineffable name of God. The Jews never say what we mispronounce as Yahweh, and certainly mispronounce as Jehovah. They never call his name. They call him, when they're referring to it in their reading, they say the name. This is the ineffable name of God, and it is written with four Hebrew letters, which you could find in your Hebrew alphabet. Psalm 119. Psalm 119 is the longest book in the Bible, and it is divided into sections of 8 verses each. Each of the 8 verses under any of the letters, it's alphabetized. Aleph is the first letter, and then there are 8 verses. Every verse begins with Aleph. Then there is Bet. Then there's 8 verses, and every verse begins with Bet. I can remember when I was a little girl, I had an alphabet book called A is for Apple, so rosy and red. B is for Bunny, and also for Bed. But the little, especially long ago, the little Hebrew children that were learning the Bible, and they did learn it very young, that there are many of the Psalms are alphabetized, and that shows you that they are fundamental truths, that the children even should learn them. The first letter of the Hebrew alphabet is Aleph. The second letter is Bet. When the Greeks took this, they made the first letter to be Alpha, and the second to be Bet. And so that's why we have an alphabet. But it's not hard for you to hear that the Hebrews had an alphabet. And in the alphabet that you have in your King James Bible, it will show you the first, there in Psalm 119, it will show you the Aleph. 8 verses begin with Aleph. The Bet, 8 verses begin with Bet. The Gimel, 8 verses begin with Gimel, and so on. You can find in there these letters, which spell what we mispronounce as Jehovah or Yahweh. And the letters are Yod, He, Vav, He. This is the ineffable name of God. Ineffable means it is inexpressible, beyond words, unutterable, unspeakable. No one knows how to pronounce this name. It was spoken only by the high priest on the Day of Atonement when the Jews had a tabernacle or a temple. But this name's meaning is it represents the eternity of God. For it is composed of the letters that spell He was, He is, and He will be, meaning that God's being is timeless. It is a proper noun, for it is the actual name of God and is known as Shem HaMephoresh, or the ineffable name. In respect for its great sanctity, it is not pronounced as it is written. Instead, it is pronounced Adonai during prayer or when reading from the Torah in ordinary speech. The word Hashem, the name, is substituted for it. I read you that explanation of the ineffable name of God from the Stone edition of the Torah. The King James, by the way, carries out the tradition of the Jews by not printing the name Jehovah, but by using capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, L-O-R-D, for the name Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, wherever it is. This name of God, the glorious name David Barron calls it in his book Israel in the Plan of God. I'm quoting now from Barron. The name of God, which is so often spoken of in the scriptures, reminds us first of all of the great and glorious fact of his self-revelation. There is much about God which men might learn from nature. The heavens declare His glory, and the firmament shows His handiwork. But nature, though it testifies of His existence and of His infinite power and wisdom, does not reveal to us His character or His moral glory. His moral character or His special relationship to those whom He has endowed with intelligence and with the sense of moral responsibility. The name, God's name, God Himself, had to be revealed. God had to make Himself known, and He does it through His name. This name, the name, Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, stands in Scripture as the embodiment of God's character, as He Himself has revealed it. He who was, who is, and who is to come. Moses said in Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 3, "It is the name of Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh that I proclaim." It is particularly meet that Moses should proclaim the name Jehovah, for it is to him, first of all, that the significance of this particular name, which is the personal name of God of the history of redemption, was first made known in Exodus chapter 3, 13 through 15, at the burning bush, and chapter 6, 1 through 8. Not only so, but God Himself, I'm reading to you from Barron, first proclaimed the name Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh with all the glorious attributes which appertain to it. And He proclaimed it to Moses when he was safely in the cleft of the rock. Remember that Moses said, "I want to see your glory." And God said, "I will let my goodness pass by you." And He put His hand over Moses in the rock. And then Jehovah Himself, and I'm going to read from the American Standard Version because they do use the word Jehovah, and it will let you know that that is the ineffable name, Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh. American Standard Version, Exodus 34, 5. "And Jehovah descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of Jehovah. And Jehovah passed by before him and proclaimed, Jehovah, Jehovah, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abundant in loving kindness and truth, keeping loving kindness for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression of sin, that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children." Now all these great foundational attributes of God's character are summed up in that glorious and fearful name, Yod He Vav He. Deuteronomy 28:58. His infinite mercy, His marvelous grace, His everlasting forgiveness, but also His righteousness, justice, and truth are displayed. And that's what we're going to see here in the book of Revelation. We are going to see that judgment is coming. The future, reading again now from the Numerical Bible, the future before the world is largely, alas, made up of judgment. Although it is true that the judgment is for a blessing which lies beyond it, the future is as bright as God can make it. Yet the judgment is emphatically a judgment of the world as it is, a judgment in which the whole present fashion of the world will pass away. And how important that we should know why it should pass away and apprehend the mind of God with regard to what He is going to judge. In this way, prophecy is of the most practical nature and a grand help to real holiness, that is, to a separation from evil, which necessarily is found in fellowship with God. If there are things with which finally it will be seen that He cannot allow to go on, then how clearly this must enter into our present estimate of them. God's moral ways, the end will perfectly bring out. And so God, who is revealed and reveals His name as He revealed it to Moses, you can go there in Exodus, He revealed Yod He Vav He, who was, who is to come, as a God who is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness and truth, but a God who is also just and righteous, and those things which He cannot allow to go on earth will not be allowed. And so they need to be gone. Oh, I read all the time of things happening. Every time I read that they took a little child, and this family appeared to be quite normal, with two normal children going out, having fun, playing in the yard. And police came, this has been about a month ago I read it, and they found that a little child had been left in the closet. It was 10 years old. They brought it out, had been not fed. It was living in filth and waste. And the neighbors were shocked. They had no idea what was going on. There are a lot of things covered that are going to be uncovered, and they're going to be judged. And that's good, so that earth then can go into this great time of blessing. So God reveals Himself as the one who was, who is, and who is to come. In other words, the eternal. It tells us in Isaiah 57 that He dwells in eternity. He is the God who was, who is to come. So when we see here in Revelation chapter 3, John to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from Him who is, who was, and who is to come. It is from Yod He Vav He. This is a letter from Jehovah Yahweh. This is a letter from the Eternal. I do hope you will go back to the beginning of this week, and you will get us in the archives as we look at the book of Revelation from the first day. As we begin this study, you can go on billybrim.org, and you can get the radio archives. And there you will be able to go with us through this book of Revelation. We're going so slowly, my daughter Brenda says, we'll probably be still on it when Jesus comes. But it's a wonderful thing that we feel we're doing what the Lord asks us to do in teaching this. Shalom until tomorrow.